Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Bava Batra Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, continuing in our discussion of switching around Yerusha, giving all of Yerusha to one person, etc. Bari Rava, on top of the Yomud. Bari Heach. Our Mishnah was dealing with a Shechiv Mirah, somebody who's on his deathbed and then has certain extensions, shall we say, of his rights. Does this also work with a Bari? Let's see. Kika Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka said that if you give all of your Yerusha to one person, it works. B'Shechiv Mirah debarutahi. B'Shechiv Mirah, he's about to be Morish. Aba Bari lo. Odilma filo Bari nami. Maybe he extended it to Bari. So let's see. Amar Rabbi Shashai le Rava. So Rabbi Shashai answered Rava as follows. Toshma, da amrlo Rabbi Natan le Rabbi. This is a discussion of Masechet Ketubot. If you recall, there are two takanot, takanat banim ketubat banim dichrin and ketubat banon nukvan. Banim dichrin, which is an inherently built-in thing. Rabbi said in the Mishnah, or Rabbi taught in the Mishnah, that if you don't write ketubat banim dichrin, it's in anyways. What it means is that the woman, when she marries, wants the sons that she has with this husband to inherit her property exclusively, and that his other sons won't get it. And in that, the language of Ketubat Banim Dichrin, the Mishnah either said Inu Niyartin or Inu Niyispun, either they will inherit or they will take. So now, here we go. Rabbi Natan Abavli said to Rabbi, Shanita Mishnatchem, in your Mishnah you taught Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka. Why? Tidnan lo katav la banim dichrin de yehavin lan lich minoi inu nyartun ksav ktubatech yotera chulakon de imachehon chayav shetanai beitinhu. In other words, the language was they will inherit. V'amar lo Rebbe, so Rebbe said back to Rabbi Natan when he was younger, he said yispun tnan, that really it's the proper gerusa is they will take. And therefore that has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka. In other words, it's just a gift. I was acting foolishly and like a young person, being chutzpah to Abnatan Abavli. Ella, the Kaimalan, Banim Dichrin, Lotaf Mishabdi. The truth is, he's right, because Banim Dichrin cannot claim their portion from Mishubadim. Why? Because it's a Yerusha. You can't claim your Yerusha from people who bought the stuff from the father before he died. But if it's really a gift, then they have an earlier claim. So he's right, it is Yartun. Now, Man Shamat Leidit Lehai Svara, this is Rabbi Natan's thinking, who is it who has this thought that you can assign your Yerusha, as long as they're to proper heirs, differently than the regular division? Rechum Ebruka. Shvamin Afidu Bari, because we're talking about a guy getting married. He's a Bari, and that's how it works. That was Rav Meshoshai's answer to Rava that Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka meant it b'bari. Rav Papa Labai. So Rav Papa now turns to Labai in what seems like a different discussion. We have a problem with Ketubat Banim Dichrin in general, because whether it says they will get or they will inherit, the mitzvah stuff that he doesn't have yet. In other words, we're talking about material that she's going to get afterwards. She's not yet married to him. The Ketubah is being written before. It's Dover Shema Shalabala Olam. This is the real kicker. Even Rav Meir agrees that you could sell something that's not yet around. Hanimili lid Dover Shema Olam. But you can only acquire it to somebody who's around. Of a lid Dover Shema Olam, meaning Adli Shema Olam, you can't acquire it to somebody who's not yet here, and her sons aren't born yet. They're just getting married, and they're talking about sons she's going to have from him. So how could this work? Ella Tanai Beit Din Shani. So our Papa himself answered, it's a Tanai Beit Din. Tanai Beit Din special. Hachanami Tanai Beit Din Shani. And as Beit Din said, this Ketuba works. So Amar Lei, Abai said back to our Papa, Mishum de Kamapik Wa Beloshin Yartun. Abai said, no, the reason that it works is because we use the word Yartun. It's Yerusha. And Yerusha, of course, works to people who aren't around when you got the material, because they're born later. Hadar Mabaya Baya then says, La Milta Hidamri, but what I said was wrong. It's not because of Yartun. It's not in the next Mishnah in Ketubot says, it's all in the fourth parak. Lo katav la benon nukvan dihavin lechi minoi yehavyan yatvan bevetim itzanim in chasai adetil akhon legivrin. The other guarantee that a woman gets when she gets married is that her daughters, if he dies, her daughters will be able to stay on the property, be fed from the property until they get married. Chayav, shutnai veitin. And there's no Yerusha or giving. Now we have a case, like we had earlier, where you're giving one of them, meaning the sons, b'yerusha, and the girls, b'matana. Even the Rabbanan agreed that if part of the deal, because remember we said earlier in the previous podcast, that ultimately everybody agrees that if you have a shtar in which part of it is a gift, which is going to be valid anyways, and part of it is a Yerusha, it'll all work. So that's why this works. So Abaye was challenged, and that was, how do you know that Ketubat Barim Dichvin and Ketubat Bno Nukvan was nitkan by the same Beit Din at the same time, such that we would consider it a single shtar? Dilma betray Beit Din itkun. Maybe it was nitkan by two separate Batei Din, in which case the two are separate things, and this is a Matana, this is a Yerusha, are separate. And then we have to roll back and explain that Abaye's original statement was right, that it's because of Loshin Yerusha that Ketubat Barim Dichvin works. So Lo Salkadaitach, no. The Tkuni, the Tani Resha, we have before, there's a famous Mishnah, Zemidrash Tarash Rabbalazman Azariah, the Chachamim Mikarim Biavner. Rabbalazman Azariah gave the following lesson. Ha'abanim Yeshuva Banot Yizonu. There's a takana that the sons inherit, there's a takana that the girls are fed. Ma ha'abanim en miyoshim elachar mitata vihem. The sons only inherit after father dies. Ha'abanot li yizonu elachar mitata vihem. The daughters are only fed after father dies, and that's where we learn that father's not chayv mizonot pito while he's alive. All right, so now, Rabbi Lazman Azariah did this drasha based on a juxtaposition, as it were, of the two takanot. If you agree with me that the whole thing was nitkan in one beit din, then we come in one takana from the other. If you say it was done in two different bate din, how can you learn one from the other? So the answer is, maybe they were nitkan in separate bate din. The second Beit Din simply said, whatever the first Beit Din did, we're going to follow that model. So that there's no contradiction between the takanot, which means, maybe the nitkan separately, it's Yerusha separately, Matana separately, and then we have to go back to Abaye's original explanation, that's because it lush in Yerusha, and the separate takanot. Alright, now Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hakotev kol nechasav lishto. Let's say a person assigns all of his property to his wife, it's a shchimira. Lo asal apotropa. What we understand is he's making her trustee over the property, he's not giving it all to her. And this, by the way, is something he would do to raise her esteem in the eyes of his heirs, her sons or the other sons, and also to make her more attractive as an almana to be married. So, pshita, that's easy. Pshita b'no hagadol asal apotropos. We understand if he has a bunch of sons and gives everything to his one adult son, that's an apotropos. B'no hakaton mai. What if he gave it all to one son who's a minor? So itmarav chanimah bar idi amar Shmuel afilu b'no katan hamutal barisa. Even if his little kid's in the crib, he's an apotropos. So now pshita b'no viacher acher matonav no bacho apotropos. If he gives everything 50% to a son and 50% to some outsider, the outsider is a gift. And the son is an apotropos for the rest of the property. Ishto v'acher. L'acher maton v'ishto apotropos. Same thing with the wife. Wife and the acher. But ishto arusa v'ishto grusha. If on the other hand, the wife in question is either betrothed to him, which means he didn't yet marry her, or it's his ex-wife, v'matona. Then it's certainly a gift. He's not interested in raising her esteem in the eyes of the family. He meant it as a gift. So, ibay elohu. Bat etzal abanim, v'isha etzal achim, v'isha etzal b'nei habal. Let's say that you have a daughter, and he singles out the daughter and gives her everything, even though they're sons. Or there are other brothers. He has other brothers, and he singles and gives it out to his wife. Or he has other sons, and he singles and gives it out to the wife. Do we understand that that gift is apotropos for the estate? Or is it really a matana, and she gets everything? Mahu. Again, we're trying to clarify what's the intent of the shchimira. So Ravina quotes Rava saying, "Bechulu lo kana." In all cases, she's an apotropos. Levar mi ishtar rusav ishtar grusha, except in the case where she's affianced or an ex-wife, in which case he certainly is giving it to her. Ravavira mishmei de Rava Amar. He quoted Rava saying, "Bechulu kani." In every case, it's her. She's not an apotropos. Levar mi isha itzal achin ve isha itzal bnei abal, except in the case where he's giving it to his wife, and there are either brothers or other sons around. Now, Bari Rava Babari Hayach, do we do this same thing with a Bari? In other words, when a Bari gives everything to one person in the family, do we understand he's making an apotropos, or do we say that's only about a Shechiv Mira? B'Shechiv Mira hu d'nechalei d'lishtav en mila, in the case of a Shechiv Mira, he has the interest that everybody will obey him and accept this person as his executor, and therefore that's how we interpret it. Of Bari Hakayu, when it comes to a Bari, this guy's around. So they're listening to him. So therefore, the gift must be a real gift. Maybe also with a Bari, he wants to make sure that they're obeying him now by accepting this guy as the trustee. So does it still work as a Bari? Toshma, kotei perot nechasav lishtof. A fellow writes that all the perot of his property goes to his wife. Govek duvak tuva tamin akarka. She still collects her ktuva from the land. But he writes, the mechsel lishtlish levia, if he writes for a percentage of the property, and he gives it over to her, then govak tuva tamin ashtar. She collects her ktuva from the other parts of the property. That stuff's a gift. Katav kol nechasav lishtof. He writes everything to his wife. Yatza alav shtarchov, and then there's a shtarchov on him, that on the property. Rabbi Lezer mer tikara matanta. Let her rip up her matana. V'tamod al ktubata. Let her keep her ktuba. Chachomim in the opposite. Tikra ktubata. Let her rip up her ktuba because she already got the gift. V'tamod al matanta. Let her hold on to the gift, the shtar that says it's a gift. And then she ends up losing in both directions. She lost her ktuba because the gift took its place. She loses the gift because the gift was after the halva and the Baal Chov takes it. He said, my niece was a daughter-in-law, and this happened to her. So they actually pass in that way. Now, all of this is to prove that Tamadi Asalav Shtarchov. It's only because there was a Shtarchov. Alo Asalav Shtarchov Kanya. If not, then she gets everything as a Matona. Uvemai, Ina Meshchimira. I can't be talking about Meshchimira. I'm right. Lo Asai Lo Petropos. We said in the case of a Shchimira, when he gives everything to his wife, she's not Petropos. Alalav Bari. It must be that he's talking about a Bari, and that means that in a Bari, it's not the same. And when it's a Bari, it's a real gift. No, Leola Mishchimira, we roll back. Rav Avira Mokila Lachulu, Rav Avira will explain, he's talking about all of those cases we had in the previous Amud. Ravina Mokila Vishto Rusa Vishto Grusha. And Ravina will say it's talking about those particular cases where in the case of a Shchimira we say it's a real Matona. Okay, I'm Raviosa Bamanumim Ramnach. When Halacha Tikarak Tubatara Tabana Matanta. On that previous case, Rav Nachman rules that against Rabbi Eliezer, that she rips up the ketubah, holds the matana, and said, "Karachem nikan mikan." She loses both. So the meimra deloazer of Nachman bar Tor Umdara. Rav Nachman doesn't follow an assessment or an appraisal of what the donor really wanted. And here, clearly, the donor really wanted his wife to have stuff, and now she's going to lose it. Atanya reisha lach b'num d'natayam. Let's say a guy's son goes off to d'natayam. He heard a rumor that his son died, and he wrote all his property to somebody else. And then his son showed up. Turns out it was a rumor. And matnato matana. The matana is still good. Rabbi Shimon ben Nasi omer ein matnato matana. Shilwaya yodesh ben okayam lo ktavan. Shimon ben Nasi disagrees and says, had he known his son was alive, then he would have never given this gift away. So why? So that here the gift is no good, and he can take it back. Rav Nachman rules that way, which means he says we don't look at the facts of the deal, we look at the intent of the donor. And here, the husband clearly wanted his wife to have more property. Why would the things play out so she gets nothing? Here, it's actually good that she gets the kol, that he gave all the property to her, because that raises her esteem in everybody's eyes, and even though in matter of fact she doesn't get the ketubah, she will be thought of more nobly, or as being more important in her husband's eyes, and therefore be more likely that she'll be successful in getting remarried, and that's his real concern. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick up in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.